You know, several years ago, in January of 2010, we had an international prophetess that traveled the nations, and she prophesied to many in this congregation, and she prophesied in song. But tonight I want to pray a prophecy that was spoken over Jackie and I in the ministry that represents the whole body. And what the Lord was speaking to me about this morning is we have been so blessed. The provision that was given for the building and the property and all that God has given us was for purpose. It was for vision. And the vision that God had given your pastor for Greatest Freedom Ministries. And when I was reflecting upon the vision, So much was given to fulfill this mandate. And one thing I know about God, he doesn't change his mind. Amen? So as God called this ministry, and Habakkuk, it says in chapter 2, verse number 1, it says, I will stand upon my watch and set upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And what the Lord was showing me is I intercede from the time that I wake up in the morning till the time that I go to bed at night. There is nothing on my mind but Greatest Freedom Ministries and the people of this church and this ministry. And I'm not saying that as a burden. I'm saying that as I have a heart for this ministry and what God has called us to do. And so when I'm interceding and I'm listening to God, I'm listening to God for you, for Greatest Freedom Ministries, for guidance, for direction, for the steps that we're to take and the things that we're to do. And he says in verse 2, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables that he may run that read of it. In other words, every week when you come in here on your PowerPoint, you have the mission and the vision of the church. Every time that you have a bulletin in your hand, you have the mission and you have the vision of this ministry. You know, we're getting it between your eyes. In other words, you need to meditate upon it. You need to read it. You need to pray for it. You know, when we start praying for that, the vision of the ministry and the call of God, things will start changing. You know, I was asking the Lord, you know, we have a basement that isn't finished. Well, when we get provision, we'll have the provision. Hello? When we get a hold of the vision and start running with the vision, we'll get the provision. You know, I want to say something to you, and I never said this before. We're going to say it this morning, this evening. I was bribed to change this vision. Financially. And you can't buy what God gives. And I wasn't going to dare do it, okay? I mean, I was offered everything. Hello? But I knew what God had said to me. And I knew what God had said about this ministry and what he called us to do. And I wasn't going to let it be bought. I wasn't going to let bribery take and change it, you know? Because you know what? You might not, if you don't know me by now, I'm bullheaded. If I get my mind and heart on something, man, I'm on it. Amen? And so he said, write the vision to make it plain. The vision's out there. He said, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and it shall not lie, though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. In other words, he's saying, it's about ready to happen. You know what? I'm seeing Harrisonburg saved for the kingdom of God. Hello? Hello? I'm not seeing a little piece of Harrisonburg. I'm seeing the city of Harrisonburg saved for the kingdom of God. You know, if the nations are going to come into this house and come to this place, they're going to come to a place that's seeking God. Amen? And we've got to be seeking him with our whole heart. We can't do it half-heartedly. You know, God doesn't enter the half-hearted things. All he asks us to do is whatever we do it with all of our strength and give him the glory. Do it the best we can. That's all he asked for. He ain't asking for more than we can give. He's asking for us to give what we can give, and then he'll bless it. Amen. You know, and it says, behold, the soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. In other words, if we saw everything in the beginning, in the natural, we would never have to have faith. We would never, it would be already be there. You know, so in the natural, we don't see everything that we should see, but we've got to see it in the spiritual. If we can see it in the spiritual, it can be manifested in the natural. But if we can't get a hold of it in the spiritual, it's never going to be manifested in the natural. And if it was manifested in the natural, you would miss it because you never saw it coming. It would be like there and go right by you. It's just like something, a passing fad or something. You know, I was really blessed this past Sunday when we went out to the neighborhood. Amen. And that's just not, we're going. Amen. We're going, you know. Every Sunday evening we're going to have a discipleship class. We're going to be leading a lot of people to Jesus, and they're going to need to be discipled, and we're going to have prayer teams going out, and we're going to go out every Sunday evening. We're going to go minister the gospel. We're going to keep it going. Amen. We're going to get refreshed this week. We've got some guest speakers coming in to operate under the healing ministry and the anointing of healing, come out of the Hunter ministry, and it's going to be an awesome time. But that's just to shoot us forth. Amen. In other words, if you know, he said his glory would come in and it would go to the nations. The problem is everybody's looking for the glory, but they're not taking it anywhere. You know. In other words, if we're wanting the glory to come in, we got to be ready to take it out. Amen. He ain't going to bring it in just so it make us feel good. Amen. God's more about just feeling good. He wants all those people out there to feel good. Amen. He wants all those people out there to be saved. He doesn't want any to perish, okay? God wants every last soul. Amen. He's a jealous God. Amen. And matter of fact, Deuteronomy says his name is Jealous. He's a jealous God. He's jealous for you, and he's jealous for me, and he's jealous for them out there. Amen. In other words, we have the answer, and praise God, we're going to go out and share the love of God. And we're just going to see what God does. God just says, hey, I'm going to do it, do it. Amen. You know, I don't know about you. When God tells me something, I just believe him. He's God. He doesn't lie. Amen. He says it, he's going to do it. Amen. So as we listen to this prophecy, I'd like for you to get out a piece of paper and a pencil and take notes as we listen to this, because when she was here, some things might have went right over top of your head, you know, and sometimes we meditate upon it and listen to it. But listen to what Diane prophesies and speaks over this ministry, and then we'll take it from there.
Unto the Lord a new song. You can even sing the song while you work. This is what the Lord says to you. I offer up to brokenness. I offer up to you this costly gift. I offer up to you this brokenness. That's been your song. And I pour my vial of worship over you. Pour my broken vial of worship over you. Jesus, I pour my broken vial of worship over you, Jesus. There were days of late, that's all I really had. Didn't know how to be so. All I could do was enter into your presence and pour my broken vial of worship over you, Jesus. It was the only thing that sustained me, that kept me in my mind. It's the only thing that kept me from breaking. So I poured my vial of worship. You've been tested and tried. There was no place to hide. If you made your bed in misery, was there by your side. If you ascended into a place, the highest place, he was right there too, walking next to you. And there were times when you didn't know who would go with you. Like Moses, God says to you, oh, my presence, I'll send my presence. There might not be a single person round about you, but my presence will carry you through the mountains and the valleys too. It's my presence. It's my presence longing to take residence. It's my presence. You know, the Lord showed me you've been growing at light speed. Oh, wow. You've been spiritually passing up your physical knowledge of our key. You're growing faster than you know. It's a different kind of growth. It only happens to kingdom. But the Lord began to speak to me even last night while we were sitting at the city grill. God began to speak to me. It was so real. There's a likeness between you and Ezekiel, you see. And there's a likeness between you and Elisha, I believe. They were the only two prophets that were most alike. They were so different day and night than the other prophets that came around that had some kind of clanging sound. But you see, God's raising up prophets who make a very distinctive sound. Because if they don't make a righteous sound, how will they know who to follow in this town? Well, it's a very peculiar different sound. Ezekiel, this is when God hit me last night in the restaurant, it's true. When you opened up your mouth, the presence of God fell all over me and you. I just was fighting back, prophesying to you in that sea. But God said, wait for me, wait for me. Well, you see, Ezekiel lived under an open heaven consistently, 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 consistently. And that's why when you were talking, I could see this unusual, crazy, stupid, ridiculous, out of control favor that you walk in. Oh, yes, it's true. The only way you can have that kind of favor is that you live under an open heaven. And just like Ezekiel, man of God, there have been times when God would grab Ezekiel out of a sound sleep and grab him by the hair of his head and drag him to a different place, a place nobody'd ever been before. You're trailblazing for the kingdom. Oh, yes, you are. Oh, my God, you're trailblazing. One night the Lord came and woke Ezekiel up and grabbed him by the hair of the head, and he drug him to a place called Between Heaven and Earth. Now, let me tell you about that place, that very peculiar place. This is where kingdom leaders are taking God's people to right now. The process has to begin with me and you. How can we lead them except we lead them with a pure sound, a clear sound, a whole sound? God's just making sure there's nothing left inside of us. Not a single bit of Carl or Jackie or Diane or any one of us. All of us has to be gone. This has to be his home. Well, you see, the place between heaven and earth is actually between church and kingdom, religion and grace, works and rest. And the church is between the 60 and the 100-fold realm. That's where God took Ezekiel to that day. He took him between the holy place and the most holy place. He took him to the place where we're being processed, into the place of completion, into the place of perfection. See, the little woman that had the bleeding issue for 12 years. The miracle wasn't that she stopped bleeding that day she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, which, by the way, the hem means the end of a thing. Whew, God bring us a hem. But her miracle was that she lived 12 years, every day of her life, bleeding to death. But she lived to experience her miracle. The number 12 is a perfect number. We're being perfected. She left her weakness and her imperfection to perfection. When she touched the hem, she became perfected. You see, we're going from church to kingdom. We're going from the 60-fold realm to the 100-fold realm. The manifest presence of God, the holies of holies, the greatest place, the dwelling place of Almighty God. Where there is no natural light, where there is no lampstand, there's just the glory of God. And the glory of God is shining us on us like the noonday. And we're becoming just like him. The light in gross, nasty, horrible, filthy darkness. Anybody been through some darkness lately? Where you've had to love instead of hate, bless instead of curse, serve instead of, come on, being used. You had to go to that place between church and kingdom. That's where you've been, you see. And to get from 60 to 100, you have to go through 40 steps, I believe. 40 is the number of trials and tribulation. It's the final test, the laying of the axe to the root of the tree, to begin to purge and thoroughly and utterly, thoroughly take a tree down to the remnant, to the stump, so that a remnant can come out of that stump. That'll be us, you see. We don't want to play church anymore. We want kingdom. We want his presence. But I'm going to say it to you the way God spoke it to me. He said that Ezekiel used language of compulsion. No other prophet did except Elisha. He had a zeal, a very real, dramatic, very descriptive anointing on his life. There's no one, Carl Sly, more anointed and gifted to demonstrate and to be excited and have zeal than you, man of God. The glory of God and the description that God's placed in you has been exactly from before you were formed in your mother's womb. God knew the kind of prophet, anointing, and personality and character that you would have and nature. And the Lord said you're going to begin to even walk out into the different types of rain, and you're going to study the rains and the different personality of the rain, because the church has been confused. They've called down snowy rain when we needed sunshiny rain. They've been confused about the kind of rain we need. God's given you a very distinctive anointing to be excited, and you don't wait, you just jump and you do what God tells you to do. And then God gives you this balance, then God gives you this holder who's in position and postured, and she's like, it's like the tortoise and the hare, and she never changes, everything's the same. And God said, that's the stability that keeps you in place. But the interesting thing is that you have a very unique prophetic gifting too, woman of God. You're a seer. You're a watchman on the wall. Your eyes are deep into the Spirit all the time. And God said you're expressive too. And God said there's movement inside of you. And when you begin to lift your feet and dance, and when you begin to move for the presence of God spiritually, I'm telling you, miracles are going to show up everywhere you go. You'll be used in the vocal gifts. You'll be used in the power gifts. And you'll... Y'all are wearing me out. Jesus. Glory to God. I give you praise. You see, God exerted pressure on the will of this prophet Ezekiel. God has exerted pressure on your will. On your will. It's the will of man that has to break and change. Because as you look out there, God has given you a house with a view. A house with a view. God's going to give you spirit. This is what he said. He said he was going to give you spiritual binoculars. He said he was going to give you spiritual binoculars, and you were going to begin to see further and deeper and wider, greater distance, greater depths, greater heights. God's going to give you heights and depth and into the spirit realm. God spoke to me this morning, and he said you were going to be like Ezekiel, where he grabs you like this, and he says, now, son, woman of God, dig a hole in the wall. Dig a hole in the wall. Dig a hole in the wall. And Ezekiel looked at him and said, Lord, you can't mean. He said, yes, the church. Dig a hole in the infrastructure of the church. Ezekiel stood there and he obeyed God and he began to dig. And God said, what do you see, Ezekiel? And Ezekiel almost fainted. His heart almost left him out of the detestable, despicable, vile acts he was seeing. But God said, dig a little bit, dig a little, you're on the outer court. Go ahead and get on into the inner court. And what do you see in the infrastructure? As you dig this hole deeper, what do you see? He said, oh my God, I see 70 elders. Elders, leaders of the church. Come on, they were involved in despicable, vile, detestable acts. And God said, look further. What do you see? He said, how many do you see? He said, 70. That number 70 means judgment on the people of God. God is bringing judgment into the house of God again, and he's getting ready to shake the rafters and the doorposts, and God is going to clean up, and he's going to expose, and God in his mercy and in his love is going to expose the things that have come into the house of God. But one of the things that Ezekiel saw as he got to the very inner court of the sanctuary, as he got inside the hole of the wall on the other side, the infrastructure that he saw, that which was sitting there, were priests that were putting sticks in their nose, branches in their nose. So I got busy and I studied and I said, God, what does this mean? It was a humanistic practice. It was where humanism had come into the house of God. I'm telling you right now, there's a trick of the enemy to bring humanism into the house of God. The Nicolaitans declared that it was okay in Revelation to have a little bit of the world in the camp. Never, never, never be in the world, but not of it. So God began to expose and show him what was going on in the infrastructure of the church. And God will only expose it to those that take no credit or value in it. They stay postured in the presence of God, because a prophet is first a worshiper. And secondly, an intercessor, standing in the gap for the kingdom, standing in the gap for the church, for the people of God. And you're going to be like Ezekiel when you stand up against those whitewashed walls that have stood so tall, and you begin to confront them when they've said, peace, 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 good times, good times. no, 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 no. What are you going to do when God set the sword to the city, the foundation, the infrastructure? I'm telling you, God is about to expose, and he's trying to get the people ready. He's trying to get us ready and prepared for what is coming. There is a place in God where we will be safe and we will be protected. It's an ark and a covenant with God where we will be eternally protected. But there are things coming that we need to prepare the people of God for. As God calls you to dig deeper in the wall, just know that it's God that's caused you to stand so tall. Now this day, God takes his vial of worship and he pours it over you. For there will be a day that's coming very, 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 very soon. Where an offense will be broken and there'll be a healing you watch and see. There'll be a deliverance on some level God's showing me. But now the Lord wants you to know that the nations are going to come to this place. Nations are going to walk through this place. I see flags. I hear angels singing praises. I see voices from every nation bowing down in this place. You will travel out even apostolically. There are some things that God's doing in this ministry. He is putting things in place, and you will travel out. But for the most part, the nations will come to this house. You'll make the connection, and they'll come to you. Yes, it's true. You'll have a school where you train them. You prepare them how to live in the presence of God. They're searching for a father. They're searching for a mother with the heart of God, you see. It's coming to this place. You said, I don't need TV. I don't need TV cameras. I don't need any of it, God. God said, but I need it. And the Lord is going to cause a ministry to bless you. There are some things that are going to be given to this ministry, some equipment, and I see cameras. I do see cameras, and I see a school. I see a very small school, like K-3, and then it grows rapidly. I see a school. I see a school. I see an administrator standing in front of me. I see a clinic. I see a medicine clinic where you help the diseased. I see it, I do. I see it on the two of you. Because you poured your vial of worship over him. You poured your vial of worship over him.